tape projection.
Hey y'all, welcome to Taking on Sports here on the Alabama Take. I am TD, that is Greg. Greg, how you doing?
I am good today, sir. How are you?
I'm pretty good. We talked about before recording. Just a nice lazy Sunday here for me, watching some football. Getting dinged on my... Go silent here, laptop. Calm down. Yeah, just enjoying some football. Kind of forgot it was Sunday when I woke up. But yeah, so that's a good Sunday, I guess. But let's hop to it. We'll start, of course, with college football as we usually do. I guess for the last time for a few months now. But that title game Monday night, we talked last week about what TCU had to do to pull the upset. They did none of it.
Exact opposite. Exactly. Obviously, they didn't want to listen to us or something. We gave them the perfect game plan and they totally got away from that.
It did. And we both predicted Georgia would win by a couple scores, but we thought maybe TCU, that magic, might keep it a little close. Yeah, it might keep it watchable and a little close until the second half when Georgia, but no. From the start, Georgia jumped on them. TCU did what the last thing they needed to do, which was a bunch of first half turnovers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When they got it with 10-7, I was like, well, maybe, and then they fumbled, and then I was like, oh, well.
Yeah, it was that. The biggest thing they couldn't do in that game was give Georgia.
Turn the ball over.
Yeah, and Georgia got, 17 points off of turnovers in the first half. Yeah. It was, 38-7 at halftime? So you take those away, that's 21-7, and then maybe TCU even gets points off those, and you could have a one-score game, but no.
Right.
And then it was over even before halftime.
Yeah. It was over halftime, and it snowballed even worse in the second half. And probably the worst title game I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was not fun. Yeah. It's what's fun when your team, when the Tide's doing it to Notre Dame back in the day.
I'm sure, outside of Georgia fans, and the ratings showed the least watched title game ever.
Yeah. I was about to say, in that Notre Dame game, we mentioned the one time ever that the country really is rooted for Alabama in the Saban years.
Yeah.
So congrats to Georgia. They earned it. Undefeated season. First undefeated champ since, I guess it's Alabama in 2020. I thought it'd been a few more years, but no, we had a few there with Alabama and then LSU the year before. And then.
Yep. So 1920.
Was Clemson undefeated that year before? No.
Yeah, in 18, they did go undefeated.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if that was the year. Yeah.
Going into the title game.
And then, not as rare as it kind of used to be. But, again, just dominating a great two-year stretch for the Dogs. People starting throwing around the D word, that dynasty, like we talked about a little last week. still got a way to go there, but it's a good start.
Definitely the right path.
Yeah, now I think the next phase they enter in, they find their next quarterback behind Stetson Bennett, and they might find a on paper more talented guy, but got to make sure he's the same type of dog and leader for them.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you can say what you want. Yeah. Talent wise, I'm sure they can find better that way. But as far as just what he brought to the team, that's gonna be hard to replicate for anybody. I mean. Just sheer will to win, his continued ability to, in the clutch especially, make his excellent decisions, great plays, and turn into a heck of a leader. So.
Exactly. And one thing I think Georgia proved this year too, the talk before the season was a lot of them, how many players they lost, how much talent they lost, and I think they kind of proved that they're at that level now. It doesn't matter. They're definitely at the reload level.
Reload, not rebuild. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's just the name of the game in college football, always has been. But they're at that level where they just replace, five-star NFL talent with five-star NFL talent. And
exactly. That's what the greats do. And they've come into their own on that level of, joining into the Alabama and the Ohio States where you every year just kind of restack and see how that goes. Doesn't always work out, but on paper anyway, you're always in the mix.
Yeah. They'll go into next season trying to be the first team to three-peat in college football since, what, like the 30s, like Minnesota or somebody in the 30s. Just a hard thing to do. I believe the last team to get really close is probably the Alabama team we've talked about in 2013, yeah, the kick six year.
Weren't close that year. Yeah, because there hadn't even been any repeats. So, yeah, that was definitely the last time. Anyway, yeah, but basically what a game and a play from a national title appearance.
Exactly, yeah, because you think about back to that Alabama team. They would have played an overmatched Missouri team in the title game, and then they probably could have beaten that Jameis Winston-led Florida State team in the
It would have been. I mean, it would have been a
good
game.
Yeah. Just like Auburn gave them a good game, you know. And then before that, it would have been, USC, the year they lost to Vince Young in Texas.
Yeah.
They were going for a three-peat. Mm-hmm.
Right, because they had a split title with LSU, then they blasted OU. And then, that would have been a three-peat there. So.
Mm-hmm. And then,
it's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, and then before that, the Nebraska teams in the mid-90s.
They had a year in between.
Yeah, they won three of four.
95, and then they won in 97. So, yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, like you said, it just shows you how hard it is to do. You talk about those three programs, Nebraska, the mid-90s, USC, the early – or the mid-2000s, and then Alabama, the early aughts, early teens, mm-hmm. whatever. Those are three –
dominant programs.
Mm-hmm. Three extremely talented programs. You know, Alabama had, a fourth, third-year starter in A.J. McCarron coming back with guys like Amari Cooper and the defense. You know, those USC teams had Reggie Bush and Matt Lerner and just so much talent on the offense side. The Nebraska teams are just so overpowering running that wishbone, that triple option with Tommy Frazier.
Yeah,
it's just so hard to win three in a row. So that's Georgia's next challenge. And now they're going to get into that phase two where their assistants are going to start being plucked. We saw it last year. Dan Lanning went to Oregon.
Dan Lanning.
Mm-hmm. And he had them rolling for a good part of the season for a little slip up late. And now that we'll transition to that and some big news. Alabama lost one. Pete Golden going to Ole Miss to take the same job, defensive coordinator, with his buddy Lane Kiffin. They're going to party it up in Oxford. As an Alabama fan, how do you feel about it?
Well, I saw the rumors originally first part of last week. I was like, it doesn't make sense. Why would you go from Alabama to Ole Miss? A couple of things. A, Nick Saban's giving you that graceful, I'm not going to fire you, but you got to go. So here's a perfect situation for you. I'm thinking that's kind of what it was because, I always thought Nick kind of took Pete in and Pete was kind of like a sun-like figure. I think he realized maybe he hadn't turned to what he thought. So, here's a graceful exit. You're still SEC. You're still a defensive coordinator. Nothing really lost other than, move down. A little bit on the stature of the school, but, still a big, big-time job. I'm thinking that's kind of what it is more than anything else, but it could be wrong.
Maybe get out of the pressure. Just needed to change the scenery. If you're Pete Golden, maybe he's just got a better relationship with Lane Kiffin.
Right. And, at the same time, look at it, too. We're very tough on Pete, and some of it was just a changing of the offenses. Some of it he followed two premier defensive coordinators. He followed Kirby Smart and Jeremy Pruitt. That's hard shoes to follow. So
absolutely, and statistically his defenses weren't ever bad. They fell out of the top 10 again this year, but they're in his best defense statistically was last year.
Yeah,
he's a hell of a recruiter by all metrics and by. By all words. So I think that's probably the biggest thing that we'll miss. But, yeah, this year with those two losses, they're just the way that the defense kind of blew them. It's a rough way to lose it. And so I think that's where I'm at. It's sometimes things just come to an end, and it's probably a good time for Pete to move on. You don't obviously never want to lose them to a divisional rival, but that's that's the nature of this game. As far as his replacement, we talked about Georgia. One of the big names there is their co-defense coordinator, Glenn Schumann, who is an Alabama grad himself and started coaching with Alabama. He's a young guy, only 32 years old, but he's a hot name. Yeah. He's got a reputation as a good recruiter. Obviously, Georgia's defense is great under him this year. He took Dan Lanning's job to co-coordinate with Will Muschamp. That's a guy I wouldn't mind seeing.
Yeah, I mean, and that wouldn't be a big – I mean, either way, I mean, if we got either one of those guys, it's not like really losing a step because you're still left with the excellent defensive coordinator at Georgia's because with the co-defensive coordinators. So.
Yeah. you know, as Alabama fan, maybe a little bit you do want to see him take that one because that not only gets you a good – a young up-and-coming guy that might stay with Nick for a while. He's an Alabama grad, so he's got loyalty to the program.
Exactly.
But you hurt your biggest rival in the as far as trying to win championships in your conference a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
That'd be a good one. And then, you know, of course, Jeremy Pruitt's name is in the mix, but at the same time, we really don't know. Is Jeremy Pruitt welcome in the SEC right now after what happened to Tennessee? Who knows?
Absolutely, yeah. That investigation, I think, will wrap up in the spring, so there's probably still a lot of waiting on that.
And some of it, I mean, you just don't know because with all this new stuff with NIL, I mean, if that had happened a year later, Jeremy Pruitt never gets in trouble. So, I mean, it's a weird one. I don't mean, it's nothing immoral. I mean, it's something that's been happening in football forever. It's what it is. I mean, we can't act like it doesn't never existed or like this is a one, you know, something strange. I mean, it's just he's just 1 year too early with the getting caught with the McDonald's bags. But.
Mm-hmm. And if you look at some other names too, looking at an article by Aaron Settles of The Athletic, friend of the take. He another name he throws out, Jimmy Lake, former Washington D coordinator and head coach, who himself comes with a little bit of baggage the way he was ousted from Washington, but another guy that's very talented and a guy that Saban tried to hire before.
Yeah.
But that's a name, Jim Leonard, the guy who was interim coach at Wisconsin this year. Another young guy for a coach. He's 40.
Defensive coordinator.
Yeah, heck of a defense coordinator. Everyone thought he was going to be named permanent coach there before they went and got Luke Fickell. That'd be an interesting one. I don't know how his ties are to the region for recruiting, but he's a very good coach.
Ties to the region, but hey, if you're a great defensive coordinator, it doesn't matter. Like if you can recruit, it doesn't matter where you came from. You can build on what you know and. Everybody has connections to every part of the country when you're in part of a major program. So.
Yeah. One name that Aaron mentioned in his article that I do not want to see is Kevin Steele.
No.
Yeah. As another friend of the take, Nathan Barfield says, if you give up 70 in a bowl game, I don't want you as my coordinator.
No. I mean, he's been in Alabama before. Didn't Nick kind of tell him to head on to Auburn?
Basically. And then he even tried that little power play to take Gus Malzahn's job when he was at Auburn under him. So you just worry about the character. And I think he's one of those guys that maybe the game has just passed him by. I think he's a defense coordinator in Miami now and working with Charlie Strong.
I saw Charlie Strong's name mentioned somewhere as well. I don't know.
Yeah, I've seen that too, and that's another one. I'm like, his defenses have just steadily declined.
When he was our off-field analyst, I was kind of excited. Well, maybe he'll step in and be the D coordinator. That didn't develop, and then he went on to Jacksonville, and then I was like, well, that's kind of. I think that ship's kind of sailed. He's a older guy. I don't know if he. Some of these guys, you don't know how they're going to evolve with today's game. And I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And then you always have to consider, too, how much of it is, they're just coming in to call defense, basically, call plays. It's Nick Saban's defense, first and foremost, and forever.
Oh, yes, Nick's defense.
So, scheme-wise, I don't think it really matters what these guys.
Nothing changes too much. It's just a matter of, what you bring, and just being consistent and being able to change when you see something in the game and not letting the guy just do the same thing over and over as we saw in the Tennessee game.
Yeah, exactly.
Same damn play.
Yeah, exactly. And the one final thing from that article, he makes a good point that maybe the dream number one name on the list for Alabama fans is DeMeco Ryans, former Alabama linebacker when we were in school there.
That'd be lovely. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, he should be getting an NFL head coaching job this offseason. And if he doesn't, it's a crime.
It's a shame. What he's done in San Francisco has been amazing. Man.
Yeah, I guess your fantasy scenario, if you're an Alabama fan, is that they work out some deal where he comes in as like a kind of a secret coach in waiting or whatever.
Yeah.
But that schools have tried that before and it never works out.
It doesn't really work out. I mean, the first time I really remember hearing that was with Will Muschamp at Texas, and he never even became the head coach there. And then, of course, we had the whole coach in waiting with Bobby Bowden and Jimbo. And, I mean, of course, he became the coach. But I don't know. It's just kind of strange because if things start going south and everybody wants the guy in, and I don't know. And if he doesn't, and then if, you know, Nick can call his time. So, I mean, if you don't have a definite time of when you're stepping in, I mean, eventually you're going to want to be the guy. And, you know, you don't want to wait another 5-7 years possibly.
Yeah, I think that dream scenario makes a lot of assumptions about what DeMeco is patient for waiting around.
I don't think they really ask him.
Yeah, and you got to wonder, too, would he even want to come to the college game and recruit? That's such a big thing in college. And is he just a guy that just wants to, you know, be football coach? But, yeah, that's about all the news. No news on the Jim Harbaugh front up there in Michigan, so no big ripples yet.
Nothing yet.
No news on Bill O'Brien yet, unfortunately.
Yeah, when is that? Like, out of both the coordinators, I thought if anybody was going to stay, it'd be Pete, and then Bill would be gone. But to have Pete go before Bill, I was like, But I would assume, you know, there's all that talk about him still going to Patriots. I'm still seeing that. But, I mean, they're not in the playoffs, so go ahead and make that move, Belichick.
Yeah, there's just been no news on that front other than the reports. No extension news, no news of who you get. Clemson did take Garrett Riley from TCU.
That was actually a very good – I like the move for them.
It was a very good hire. Someone I wouldn't have minded to see take over in Tuscaloosa, but Clemson got him. That's good for – real big for them.
What they needed, because, I mean, as they – see Florida State him kind of turning things around and really ending the season on a high note and getting a lot of national attention now. You know, he had to do something because that offense last year was pretty bad.
That's big for them, developing those quarterbacks and those star players they get. Which kind of moves us to our – we'll finish up college football here. Mentioned Clemson got kind of embarrassed by Tennessee in the Orange Bowl. So I got two questions for you. We'll do some early predictions for next season based off the bowl season. Who's going to get some bowl bump hype, you know, based off of a big bowl win? And then who's going to get too much hype that you think will, you know, people throw maybe like this year's Texas A&M, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, who's that team that everyone's going to throw in top five and then actually finish like 4-8?
The 4-8. You know, I really haven't thought about that one yet. I don't see anybody that got, you know, ended the season well or had a big bowl win that's really going to fall off too much. And they probably won't because they're kind of that 9-3 team. But if anything, I would say may take a step back would probably be like a Utah or something like that. But I don't know.
Yeah. Anybody you think's going to – just who's really going to be that – hot name going in next season based off of
based off everything and what I've heard this week and everybody's talking about, it seems to be Florida State. Seems to be that hot name, just kind of how they ended the season. You know, they're kind of on the upswing. Clemson's kind of on the downswing, and looks like they might be that team that's look to get back into the football mix again. So I think that's kind of the hot team. And yeah, that's the hottest name that I've keep on hearing over and over and over again. Florida State this and Florida State that. I think other people are kind of I've heard some LSU rumblings as well about that's going to be a team in that week one matchup with, you know, a lot of people. I think going into next year, that's going to get a lot of talk throughout the off season as far as, you know, setting a precedent as far as an early playoff contender for sure.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned those names. Mentioned Tennessee. They'll probably get another one after this year's great season, the way they finished it off, just right. Beating the hell out of Clemson and Orange Bowl. Penn State with a Rose Bowl victory, they'll probably get some hype.
But, you know, maybe I'm biased, but I don't know. I just think Tennessee is going to take a step back. I mean, maybe I'm hoping I'm not wrong. I hope I'm right there, but I just don't know. Yeah, Penn State always gets that, and then they always seem to disappoint. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, they'll probably definitely get a little hype. But just that division, I mean, until they beat Michigan and Ohio State.
Yeah, it's so tough for them. Yeah, because you could see a world where the top 25 preseason has, you know, Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State in it.
Yeah.
And then like Georgia.
Two of those teams have to take. Yeah. You know, two of them are going to take a loss to the others at some
point. Exactly. Yeah. Or they're all three going to kind of beat each other, which they've done many times. I think that might be the team. Yeah. That, because we've talked about it plenty of times on here before. They can win the rest of the games on the schedule, but they just can't get over the hump. James Franklin can't get beat Ohio State and Michigan in the same season to take that Big Ten crown. Tennessee, a lot rides on their quarterback. Is Hendon Hooker is Joe Milton actually going to play a whole season as good as he did that bowl game?
Who knows?
Can they replace Hyatt in the receiving corps? Just that game breaking speed he has.
Right. I mean, they've got quite a bit of talent coming in off that recruiting class, though. Mm-hmm.
So, Florida State, you talked about them. Yeah, can they really make that next leap and challenge Clemson for the ACC? That's a big one. I'm not sure who. I don't think, you know, answering that question I asked you I don't think there is like a Texas A&M in this group. You never know. Obviously, that's always a surprise. But I think we cover probably the three biggest teams that are going to get a lot of hype. And then you mentioned LSU too. They dismantled Purdue in their bowl game.
That's it. That was wild. Like, I expected them to win, but man, they just wish that of them early.
You know, they'll get Jaden Daniels back at quarterback. They will not get Keyshawn Boutte back at receiver, depending on, you know, for reasons why. Depends on what rumors you choose to believe.
Yeah, that whole interesting SEC championship weekend rumor. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, some old partying in hotel rooms.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Yeah, what goes there. And then, like I said, we still don't know the Jim Harbaugh situation with coach openings in the NFL. And what's going to come open. And I guess we can use that as a segue to the NFL playoffs, a job that may come open after blowing a 27-0 lead in the wildcard game last night. The Jaguars come back. Trevor Lawrence threw four first-half interceptions and then threw four touchdowns.
In the second half.
And he raced a 27-0 lead over the Chargers, who Staley, I'm forgetting his first name there, but supposed to be a defensive specialist. The Chargers defense past couple of seasons has really let him down. And you got to wonder if that kind of loss makes their ownership kind of look somewhere else to take advantage of having such a generational talent or such a talented guy and Justin Herbert on the sideline.
Yeah, I mean, you – look at it. I'm sure that they're going to make that move. I mean, you look at it last year, he missed the playoffs because of a stupid decision to call that timeout. At that point, Oakland got pissed off and went for the win. At that point, when they were tied, both of them would have gotten the playoffs. Then this year, you know, just blowing the 27-point lead. I mean, and it's the NFL. You expect teams to come back, but not to score at all in the second half. No points. With that talent, like, come on, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Nope.
just insane. And you, especially when
and you know, honestly, they really didn't have a great first half either. I mean, it was just a matter of they lived off those turnovers. I mean, those turnovers changed the game. I mean, it was okay offense, but it wasn't anything amazing. I mean, if Trevor Lawrence doesn't have them four interceptions, I mean, maybe it's not even that close of a game.
Yeah, and they kicked a couple field goals in that first half when they could have really had like a 35-0 lead. So, yeah, that, especially with a guy, a name like Sean Payton still hanging around out there, you know, you have to probably give up a first-round pick to the Saints for him. But
do you really want to – yeah, I don't know if I'd really want to give up a first-round draft pick.
Yeah, but does he want to jump at a chance to coach a quarterback like Herbert? You know, with a weapon like Austin Eckler that he can probably use, like Alvin Kamara, you know.
Right.
So that's something to watch. Ever
could stay healthy.
Yeah. That's one thing to watch. Congrats to the Jags and all their fans. That's just a great win. They'll go. Don't know who they're going to play yet.
More than likely Kansas City, unless craziness happens here.
I'm about to say we are watching right here with about a little over 6 minutes left in the game. Buffalo leads 34-31 over a tough Miami team, tougher than people thought without Tua.
They're really hanging around. I mean, you got to give them credit. I mean, on the road, people expect me to get blown out, and they've held their own. Mm-hmm. Down 17-0, it looked bleak early, and they've answered that bell. Went down, tied it up before the halftime. What ended up being 27-0 and having let up in the second half. You know, you kind of expect them to fall off like the Seahawks did in the second half, and they didn't. So, kudos to Miami, win or lose. I mean,
yeah, they're really tough. Really good, yeah, going forward, win or lose for them, that's a positive reaction. They could have, like you said, folded. They could have folded before the game without Tua, everyone just thinking they're going to lose by multiple scores. They could have folded after going down 17-0. And like you said, they could have pulled the Seahawks yesterday in the other game. 49ers, Seahawks were close at halftime, and then 49ers just took over in the second half.
Exactly.
Ran all over them, ran right through them. But they are hanging around. They're answering every punch that Buffalo throws. Miami's answering. And they just, sack, but Buffalo falls back on it. Miami just almost had a huge turnover there.
Oh, that would have been huge.
They do force the punt, though. Now we're ticking under 5 minutes left. Definitely by the time we're done recording, this should be a done game. And we'll know the NFL does reseed after the first round. So the Chiefs will play the lowest seed remaining. The Jags are a 4 seed. This is a 2-7 matchup right here. Yeah.
2-7.
Then the Bengals, a 3 seed, will place the Ravens tonight. 6 seed. As much as I'd love for it to happen, I just don't have a lot of confidence. My Ravens are going to pull the upset without Lamar. No Lamar. We don't even know who's starting quarterback.
Who is the starter? Is it going to be?
They have not named it.
I mean, I heard it was going to be both were going to play, but I was like, if Huntley's healthy, why wouldn't Huntley just be the quarterback?
Yeah, because
Johnson's definitely not the answer.
Yeah, Brown. I've not seen anything yet. Anthony Brown, former Oregon quarterback, that's just done anything. And the receiving corps going to be like DeSean Jackson, DeMarcus Robinson, and Sammy Watkins. Nate Barfield, again, in a text thread earlier, made a joke that's the NCAA 07 All-Star. Receiving.
Yeah, back then, 10 years ago, that's a hell of a unit.
It is. That's a scary unit, but it ain't 10 years ago.
That's a lot of speed.
The one thing that, you know, gives Ravens fans hope, or at least makes me think that it'll be a closer game than even I think, is that defense has just played so well since getting Roquan Smith, and Cincinnati is missing the entire right side of their offensive line. Their guard and right tackle are both out.
Leo Collins is out. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's huge. But they also still have Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and, you know, Mixon and a lot of talent on that offense. And, again, the Ravens' offense without Lamar has just been rudderless and punchless. Over the NFC, we got the Vikings and Giants that will play coming up next. That'd be a good game. That's the one I can't really get my finger on. I think the Giants can definitely give the Vikings a game, depending on which Vikings team shows up.
I think that's going to be should be a good game, kind of like what was on Christmas Eve. We got that game, and on New Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve is a heck of a game. It came down. The Vikings hit the 61-yard walk-off field goal.
Yeah, what day was that? I can't remember. It was a good game, regardless. Brian Daboll, who should win Coach of the Year in the NFL, has got his guys playing really hard, and they're not afraid of anybody.
No, they're not.
And Minnesota, you know,
the Minnesota defense, they're going to allow teams to stay in the game. Mm-hmm. The Giants, I'm thinking Vikings win because it is a home game and they have a prolific offense. But, man, I wouldn't be shocked either way just because how these teams have been. I mean, the one thing I will say, the Vikings have had some weird losses, but when they win games, the close ones, they find ways to win the game. And You can say maybe that they're, you know, not that good of a team, but, you know, this time of year in those close games, playoff, maybe it teach them how to win right and, you know, at least go on to the divisional round there. But it should be a pretty entertaining offensive. I think it might be a little ugly on the defensive side of things for both teams, but if you like offenses, that's one to watch.
Yeah, for sure. And then tomorrow night, your Cowboys go into Tampa Bay to face the Buccaneers. Cowboys should win, but Tom Brady's kind of getting a little bit of that Tom Brady magic back these last few weeks.
It's one of those things. Paper, we should blow them out. But we all know, and I think it's just a matter of us getting in our own heads more than anything. If we lose this game, it's going to be more of that. Just because, you know, 0-7 against Tom Brady coming into this game. We haven't won a road playoff game since the 93 NFC title game against the 49ers. Yikes.
Oh, yeah. Good catch, but big hit there on Jalen Waddle.
Big hit, but held on, and man. But yeah, there was like only currently on the roster 10 Cowboy players alive the last time we won a road playoff game.
Ooh.
I was like, geez.
And then, they played as the Buccaneers week one, right?
It's just a matter of, you know, playing the game, playing our game, and using Dak for what Dak needs to do. Don't force throws. If the running game's working, stick with the running game. And just let the game play. Don't try to overdo things because that's been our downfall, I think, is at times we try to do too much. Mike McCarthy, he pushes when he doesn't necessarily have to, as I saw like in the Green Bay game. Games really wants to win. He does some dumb things. If we don't do the dumb things, we win. But we've been known for the dumb things for the last 20 years. I don't know. But I still think we win the game, but we're just going to have to play how we know we can and not let – just be mentally tough and not make the mistakes, not let them get in your head and take advantage of what the Buccaneers give you because they're going to give you a lot of chances to score points. That defense hasn't been what they've been. That offense is only averaging 18 points a game, so it should be able to get them off the field to get our offense on to the field.
Yeah, and not lean on your two talented running backs there if you do get a lead. And don't give Tom Brady a chance to make a late game drive to win. But yeah, and of course they did play week one. I mentioned, I think probably the Cowboys' worst game of the year.
And you know, at that point, you know, I thought, man, this is going to be a long, long season because, I mean, we looked horrible offensively. The defense looked good, but, you know, they just got tired there. And then Dak got hurt, and I was like, man, we're going to be in the – we might as well just tank now. But, you know, the ride of the ship got things going. And, you know, I wish that talking about that after his injury, I wish that we would go with more of the Cooper style of the offense. We didn't force things. We let the game come as the game – and, you know, kind of kept a little vanilla, but did things that worked. And – wasn't forcing him into throwing passes, and I wish they would just get back to that. Because Dak, he's thrown a lot of picks recently. And I think he's leading the league over the last half of the season, and it's not a good thing considering he's only been back 6 or 7 games.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we will see. should be a fun divisional round next week, and regardless of what happens today, but we got, like I said, we got three more games and then the end of this one here in Buffalo. We'll switch gears and go to the hardwood on the college side. At least our boys in Tuscaloosa, who yesterday just whooped up on LSU, a 40 plus point win. Brandon Miller, did he end up outscoring LSU in the first half by himself?
It was close.
Yeah, it was close. Alabama just doing everything right yesterday. Alabama hitting threes out the gate. Jaden Bradley hit a half-court buzzer beater in the first half. And then they came out in the second half and just expanded that lead, just absolutely wrecked LSU. An embarrassing loss for your LSU. Big home win for the Tide. And just more momentum going for what, you know, guys like Jimmy Dykes calling the game are saying is the hottest team in the country right now. We talked about this.
You got to love it.
Yeah, you do. As longtime Alabama basketball fans who just saw so many teams in that Mark Godfrey era with a lot of talent but just never quite developed and lived up to it. You know, we, our freshman year there, got up to number one in the country and then immediately lost our first game. Ended up, what, like a number nine seed?
Yeah, we lost to
Indiana, and that point guard that we hated.
What was his name? Tom Covert,
Cloverdale? Was that it? Something like that.
Cloverdale, the fat
point guard that we got. Yeah. Just embarrassing. Just like that, you know.
We had a lot of talent that year. I mean, you know, we had what, Kennedy Winston.
Kennedy Winston.
Ernest Shelton. He was that was an underrated guard. He put up other good numbers a lot.
Yeah, that was not a Mo Williams year. He had left by then. But do we have Mo? I don't think so.
No, Mo was there.
He was, yeah, Mo Williams.
Yeah, Mo was still there. Who else do we have? We had the
Skywalker, Kenny Walker.
We had the other power forward,
Evan Brock, dude that could jump out the gym. Evan
Brock. That dude, yeah. Jamario was there.
Young Jamario, maybe a young Chuck Davis on the team. I can't remember.
Yeah, Chuck was either, yeah, because I know for sure he was there, of course, our sophomore year. He was a good thing to.
It was Irwin Dudley on that team, or did he
Irwin
leave?
Dudley,
yeah, that's Irwin it. He Dudley was, yeah. Was there.
He was a solid double-double guy every game.
And then you know, yeah, that team very disappointed. Then next year didn't have high expectations. Of course, that's the year they made the Elite Eight run. And then we got, you know, got Ronald Steele into the program, and that, and guys like Richard Hendricks, and that team just never quite live up to their expectations. But this year's different. This year's a real team. They're playing just great ball on both sides of the court. Brandon Miller is in the conversation for Player of the Year, and probably the third pick in the NBA draft behind Wembanyama and Scoot Henderson. He's just, it's amazing to watch as Alabama fans and really excited. Not only,
I mean, we just blowing out Kentucky last Saturday. I mean, we dominated Arkansas on the road, and that was impressive. And then, you know, everybody said, well, Kentucky's pretty bad. I mean, they took that bad loss to South Carolina, but then they rebounded with a big win yesterday in Knoxville. So
yeah, which helps us out, Kentucky too.
Makes us look a little better. And then yesterday, I mean, just complete domination, start to finish. And that's what I like about this team. You know, in the past, we've gotten out the leads, and we kind of, relax a little bit. And we just kept our foot on their neck and just – did what we needed to do, didn't get comfortable with lead and just expanded. And that's what great teams do.
Definitely a great shot to be the first one seed in school history, make the first Final Four. And hell, they're a national title contender because they proved they can beat anyone. They've gone into Houston and winning there. That proves that they can not only play with teams on a neutral court, but you can go in to a team's home arena and beat them.
Sure.
Up next, a couple games for the Tide. Tuesday, they'll go to Vanderbilt. That used to be a House of Horrors Memorial Coliseum there.
We are nemesis. My goodness, we couldn't win on there for any reason.
Of course, that Vanderbilt team, not as strong as they used to be. The next Saturday, they'll go to Columbia, Missouri to play number 20, who I think will probably fall out of the rankings. Missouri team, who has not started SEC play strong. They've lost back-to-back to Florida and A&M this week.
But we've had some of our issues with going to Columbia, too, as of late. Mm-hmm. Last year we lost in Columbia, and I think the year before, if we didn't lose, it was a barn burner.
An ugly game, yeah, maybe. So the Tide going for their second SEC title in 3 years, and then beyond that.
Sky's the limit. Because yeah. There's definitely nobody that you're just like, oh, head and heels above everybody else. I mean, it's a lot of good teams, but yeah, nobody that I'd be like, well, we couldn't beat them for any reason. Definitely don't see that. So,
yeah, right now, Joe Lunardi has the Tide as a number one seed.
Yeah, I saw that. This is amazing.
Yeah, he has Kansas as the top overall seed. And you also got Houston and let's see, who would be Purdue? Would be the other number one seed. Right now in his bracket, Alabama would be the one seed in the South region. Their two seed would be UConn, a team that we lost to earlier, could get some revenge on. Got history in the tournament with, too. They ended that Elite Eight run.
Yeah, that was a theme with the Mick Okafor.
But it was that dude shooting threes that game that killed us. Can't remember who it was. Texas would be the three seed. He's got Marquette as the four, Baylor the five. That'll change a lot. Well, of course, yeah.
Everything could change, but as of right now, that's a big boy region.
Mm-hmm. Indeed it is. But like we said, a couple kind of tough road matchups this week, but if they play like they have been, they should handle it.
No reason why we shouldn't. And, you know, we need to get some revenge on Vandy. They embarrassed us last year in the ACC tournament. Mm-hmm. That ugly. But no more, bro. Scottie Pippen's not there. But they did get a big win yesterday at home. Got out to a big deficit to Arkansas, clawed their way in, and got a big set. Scored 66 in the second half, I believe, from their win against Arkansas yesterday. So.
Yeah, that was a big, what is it, 11 ranked teams lost yesterday.
Yeah.
Which I believe tied the all-time mark. Yeah. Let's see who, number 5, Tennessee. Number 9, Arizona lost to Oregon. Kansas State lost to TCU. Iowa State lost to Kansas. Arkansas lost to Vandy, as you mentioned. Miami lost to NC State. Wisconsin lost to Indiana, got blown out. Providence lost to Creighton. Missouri lost to Florida, as we mentioned. San Diego State lost to New Mexico. And Duke lost to Clemson. And then UConn lost earlier this week. It's set up for the Tide to really make a run and make their name.
Sure.
We'll go to the pro game real quick. No really huge developments in the pro game other than, you know, Ja Morant absolutely posterizing some poor soul.
My goodness.
if you haven't seen it yet, look it up. If you haven't, I don't know how. It really is just going to be a highlight dunk for years and years and years to come.
Yeah. And you could just watch it over and over and over. Mm-hmm. It's that epic.
Right? Yeah, there was a tweet I found that had all the different angles of it, and it's just amazing to watch every time.
And it's still crazy to think that man went to Murray State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's one.
Nobody else wanted him.
How? Yeah. David How does Cornell that guy?
Coach recruited him. I don't care if they're talking about his size or whatever, but you come on, guys, really?
Mm-hmm. And he's from what, South Carolina, right? Like, how did they let him go? How does
How did anybody? Yeah, I mean, it's not like South Carolina has a long history of great talent. Like something like they have. Oh, we get all the premier All Americans. This one. So,
well, Tobacco Road schools, how do you know, even if maybe Duke and UNC think he's not talented enough for him, how does NC State, or Wake not grab him up?
Wake Forest. Like, my goodness.
Yeah, that's one of those.
They drop all the way to Murray State. Now, Murray State's been a great mid-major team, but no power five team. It was like, man, this guy might be who we need. Like, that's just wild.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. The I guess the biggest story coming up in the NBA is the trade deadline is approaching, less than a month away now. Is there anything you want to see, any big trade you want to see, or specifically anything you want your Mavericks to do?
I would love to see the Mavericks do. I would love to see the Mavericks do something. I mean, as we saw last night, Luka had a bad night, and we got wrecked by the Trailblazers. So, I mean, every now and again, he's going to have an off night, and we don't have an automatic number two at all.
Yeah, for sure. We need some more playmaking on that team.
I know. But the thing is, I just don't know, like, who we'd bring in, or, you know, with the cap situation, or, you know, what we do with that. But I don't know if we'll make a move. I would have to think probably the Lakers would make some move. I mean, I think someone's going. Either AD or Westbrook is out. We'll see how that develops. I don't know. I think that there's a lot of teams that are right there, so it'd be interesting to just see what moves these contenders make. Does Cleveland make any moves? Does Memphis or New Orleans or anybody do anything, or do they just stick with what they've gotten to this point?
Yeah, absolutely. It should be fun. It's always fun. There's usually one kind of shock trade in there. We do think the Lakers probably will make a move. Whatever it is, I hope it causes them to lose more games and make that Pelicans pick better. As far as the Pelicans go, I don't think they really need to make any splash moves. You know, they made that last year getting C.J. McCollum. Just maybe this year add some veterans, a guy maybe like an Alex Caruso if they can get him.
Yeah, it would be great.
But you don't want to mess up the chemistry on the team too much. They got and they still have barely played any games with their full starting five yet. You just get Ingram and Zion and Herb Jones healthy, and if you can play with that starting five and that those bench guys and their time together and all this playing time they're getting, like Najee Marshall has just exploded. You got guys like Jackson Hayes, which is maybe at some trade value, maybe Devontae Graham, or maybe a guy like Kyrie Lewis, who maybe you still think has some potential. Some teams maybe might want him. And then, of course, they have just a ton of draft picks. They got their next seven first-round picks. They have, as we mentioned, the Lakers pick this year. They have the rights to – it's a pick swap this year. And then they have unrestricted rights to the Lakers pick next year with the option to defer it to 2025. They have two Bucks picks outright and then two swap rights with the Bucks later down. So they have a lot of draft capital they can throw around if they wanted to add. Exactly. You know, like I said, some veteran leadership, some people with some playoff experience on the team, just missing pieces.
I think that would be the main thing, kind of a mid-major guy, maybe not even a big minute guy, just somebody, that getting a tough playoff series has been there, seen some things, when the guy, young guys run into a wall or, get down a little bit, just kind of talk them through that situation. I think that's more or less what they need than anything. No big splashes, really, just some veterans with some playoff experience that maybe give them a good 14, 15 minutes a night or something.
All right, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So is there anything from the sports world we missed that you want to touch on?
No, I think, I think it's be interesting. I think we're going to get a lot more interesting things this coming up week as coaching changes happen, people continue to get fired, and moves take place. I think we'll have a lot to talk about after that.
Absolutely. As it looks like right now, Buffalo is going to wrap up their game. They just need to take a knee, and they will win 34-31, so they will move on. And
more than likely. I know you don't want to hear that as a Ravens fan, but that Bengals-Bills game next weekend could be pretty epic.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good game. With this result, we get a little bit clearer picture now what would happen next week. If the Bengals win, they go to Buffalo. Jacksonville will go to the Chiefs. If the Ravens pull the upset, they would go to Kansas City, and Jacksonville would go to Buffalo. Oh, and a little scuffle here. That's a little testy game at times.
That'll do it. Mm-hmm. end of the season, playoffs, it's going to happen.
For sure. But yeah, so what's been done real good for you this week?
This week, I would probably just say I would spend more time with the family after work and stuff, and that was just enjoyable. How about you?
I would say probably the kid getting on a little bit better sleep schedule. Me and mom have figured out a little bit better things about him. And he's not quite at the stage since he was premature. Still got to kind of have routine scheduled, hard schedule and feedings overnight. But we've found ourselves right into a better rhythm rotating who, you know, catches some pockets of sleep. So a little bit better control on that.
Always the key to learn that. And it'll, good thing is it'll start getting better and you'll get more sleep or know the schedule that works the best.
So. Exactly. Yeah. And, so yeah, that's been it this week. But that should do it for us this week. As always, thanks for listening. Do check out everything else we have in the Alabama Take family of podcasts and on the alabamatake.com. Until next time, we will see you, Greg. Take it easy, buddy.
Yes, sir. See you next week.